Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. We are excited to be here tonight. We've got a great guest and a lot of fun. We're going to talk about great things. First of all, I wanted to say hello to my hosts, Dave Atwell. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine this evening, enjoying a wonderful cigar from Godfather's Cigars here in Jacksonville, and enjoying a cold malt beverage, my favorite one with a blue ribbon on it. It's about 12 degrees outside, but I am going to tough it out because I want this cigar so bad and I don't smoke indoors. So hope everybody else is staying warm and looking forward to this evening.
Absolutely. And now from Indianapolis, Indiana, here he is, Todd Saxon. How are you doing, Todd?
I am outstanding, supernatural, and ecstatic to be here, gentlemen. And I love the way that Dave spells 1240 for the temperature.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing.
I know the people that have a much better temperature can say that, but it is brutally warm 27 out here this evening. It's which is warm compared to the 17 this morning. I mean, gadzooks. I put gloves on this morning, man. I wasn't even playing.
Buddy, we're at 54 degrees and not going much lower here in Myrtle Beach. So what can I say? I'm sorry, but I must say, we love you. We're glad you're here, and even though you're freezing, you're good to be here. So I want to introduce tonight the number one, and I mean the number one wrestling fan of all time, Steve Logan. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, good. Just glad to call in and talk about whatever, pop culture and wrestling.
Absolutely, because I got to know you through Papa Stro, the Maestro's show, WCW Retro, and you seem to be like the guy that knows everything about wrestling. In other words, what's going on? And here's the deal. If you like it, we just might bring you on here every so often and let you talk about what's going on. So what's going on in wrestling? What's going on in your life right now?
There's a bunch of stuff going on. I don't know if you heard earlier, I was talking to you about NWA Power and how they got a pay-per-view this Sunday, I believe, on the 14th. And so that should be pretty interesting. And then I think that was Saturday. And there was some news about a wrestler death, Rene Goulet, the French wrestler.
What in the world happened there? Rene Goulet, tell me about it.
Well, I think the cause of death is still unknown, but it was like the news broke out, I think, today, but it actually was kept private. His passing was in May, I believe I've read. And he was before my time, so I'm not too familiar, but it seemed like he had a pretty great career, wrestled some great names.
He used to wear a French Foreign Legion hat into the ring. That was his big forte.
Right.
He was a French Foreign Legion guy, and he would come in, and he was good for stirring up the whole USA chant, that kind of jazz. But, yeah, that's a shame. I didn't know about that. He was a regular in the Mid-Atlantic stuff that I used to watch when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, read that he was in AWA and WWF as well, the early years. And yeah, it's some pretty sad news. And then there's some some great wrestling going on with the also Ring of Honor is pay per view too. I haven't even read much into that. And then but yeah, I've been watching enjoying the NWA Power stuff, and they had shown clips of WrestleCade from that event that Stro was at, Papa Stro, and some good footage was on their Power episode with Nick Aldis and Great Muta having the face off after the George South match. So yeah, it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan right now.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, because I heard all the back story about that with Papa Stro and with George South, who I used to be involved with you know the PWF Professional Federation. Oh my God, it's like I think we better hold that one off for another time. but anyway, and Rene Goulet, I mean, you know, it's so horrible that we're just now finding out about this. And let me ask you, Steve, I mean, because you're our expert on this. Do we need to do a murder 1-2-3 on this? What in the heck happened?
I don't think anybody knows yet, or if they do, they're keeping it private. I have no idea what it could be. It could be just natural causes or whatever, but I'm hoping that it wasn't too bad, or however he passed, or because yeah, I guess some dogs just need to be left, you know, laid or whatever the expression is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But I tell you what, I'm gonna count on you to let me know this week. And if we need to, we'll do a murder 1-2-3 on Rene Goulet. I mean,
there's another wrestler that I think doesn't get talked about enough. I'm surprised the Dark Side of the Ring didn't do an episode about him. That was a popular series on wrestling, and I thought Ricky Dozan would be a great murder 1-2-3 or Dark Side of the Ring topic if he ever gets covered, because his death was caused by a Yakuza member stabbing in I think it was a bar, and after because of the altercation, and there's multiple stories and theories about what happened, but all of them pretty much being the Yakuza guy got into a scuffle with him, and then he had a urine-covered blade, which I thought was weird, because, like, who carries around a urine-covered blade? But, yeah, that's how Ricky would pass later on. Not right away. It took a little time, but, yeah, he was, like, if anybody didn't know, he was, like, the godfather of Japanese wrestling and over there, and it was a pretty big deal. Record numbers number of ratings on TV in that country, with like 70 million people, I think, seeing him versus the Destroyer on TV. And so, yeah, I think someone like that would be a great topic. I know he had a biopic movie made in 2004 with people like Great Muta in that movie. So I think it'll be interesting if he ever gets covered again.
Well, here's the deal. I want to ask and invite Todd and Dave and you. I would like to invite all three of you to do Murder 1-2-3 this coming Monday night. And we got to talk about this. I mean, this is like a gigantic story. And that's what we're about. It's all about murder. It was terrible. You know, I'm laughing, but I'm not really, because I mean, you know, we talk about murder, and let me tell you what happened this past Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon when we had the Somerville, South Carolina Comic Con. We were talking about Lavinia Fisher. And we were listening, you know, we had the speaker set up and everything. And Lord knows, we had voices coming through the speaker. They were female voices, and it was, I believe, and Robin McRae believes that it was Lavinia Fisher, and I'm getting ready to post that on Murder 123. So what I'm telling you is, be careful for what you wish for, you'll receive it. And I'm telling you, we think that we got Lavinia Fisher talking about the fact that she really did not, she was not the first serial killer in South Carolina. She didn't kill anybody. She was not a nice lady, but you know, she was not terrible. She was not terrible. She was not a horrible person. She didn't kill anybody. So anyway, so that's what we got. And so Steve, you know, this will be great. And Todd and Dave, would you guys like to be part of the craziness of Murder 123 this coming Monday night?
You're going to fill two holes there on that one. I will not commit the, we'll call it possible. But I tell you what, I've just been searching my little fingers off here. And the one thing I found that might give us something here is about the donations to the Alzheimer's Association associated with Renee Gillet's death.
Which is certainly a very important thing. It really is.
Agreed.
Well, thanks a lot for mentioning that. And Dave, now what are you going to say?
No, it's we talk about it quite a bit here around, you know, me and my brother do, whenever we hear the passing of an athlete or an actor or a wrestler or something to that effect, is that anybody we watched as a kid, the time is ticking. Not to be funny about death at all, but, I mean, I'll be turning 50 in May, so anybody that I was parked in front of the television watching, you know, when I was, you know, 8 or 10.
I can't believe that you were actually ever 8.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's one of those...
Todd, don't you know what I mean? It's like, can you believe that Todd was... That Dave was ever 8 years old. Oh my God! Please continue.
You know what? Though he was probably a curmudgeon then. You know, I'm half thinking if we really wanted to have a good show about Dave, we ought to just ask his parents to come on and tell stories.
But
well, we still love you, Dave. So keep talking, Dave.
I could bid higher.
Well, you know what, though? Actually, I'm going to derail you a little bit. I know, just a reminder, we know Steve has some stuff on his agenda. So we want to we want to pick his brain while we got him on the line, man.
Absolutely. All right, so we'll pick Dave's brain later, but we'll pick Steve's brain right now.
Long.
So, and thanks for telling us about that that horrible, horrible thing that happened. So what else is going on in wrestling? Because you're, as Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling, says, you are the one and only professor of wrestling. So what else is going on?
When I was scrolling through Facebook, I saw the saw an Impact post, anniversary of Abyss versus Sabu and a barbed wire match from 2005, which I thought was pretty interesting because I think I may have seen that live or shortly after the fact. I thought that was pretty interesting news. And then, of course, Renee's death was big news. And then I think these Steve Austin interviews on the W Network have been pretty interesting. He did a sit down with Undertaker, and I think he's got one with Goldberg coming up. And I was watching some video of Taker talking about his first match being with Bruiser Brody and how he did everything wrong in that match, everything to set Brody off that he did. was a pretty interesting story. And then, of course, NWA Powers is Saturday, and should be interesting. Nick Aldis versus James Storm is the main event for that one. It's 2 and 3 falls with special referees, I think 2 or 3 referees for this match, selected by the each by Aldis and Storm. So that should make it interesting. Brian Hebner and Camille are involved in that. And then I had some pretty good memories with Nick Aldis. I heard an interview that he did on VOC Nation this week that was pretty good. I think it was last night. And, yeah, he was in my area with he was doing a Jake Roberts event. He was doing a speaking event here in the Richmond area. And he had Nikki James with him, his wife, I think. And it was a pretty fun event. So that's the first time I got to meet him, and then I got to see him in Maryland defend the NWA title against Brian Scott, which I thought was a pretty great match and good showing for Brandon, and it was a pretty good moment. I think it was an NWA title match, and after the match, Aldis had won. He let Brian Scott's dad hold the title, which was a pretty big deal to him, so I thought that was a pretty classy move by Aldis. And so I'm happy to see that he's still champion there, and looking forward to his big title match with James Storm. The 2 out of 3 falls is a pretty old-school stipulation. I know it's a reoccurring match stipulation that I would see in older matches with Ricky Dozan, and even in the Arena Mexico, those old Lucha Libre matches would be 2 out of 3 falls as well, and which I thought was pretty interesting. And and some other matches announced on there too, which Rock and Roll Express are also the tag team champions over there. They recently were shown on the on the recent episode that they won the titles from the Wild Cards, which I thought was pretty great because I got to see them rock and roll at a local event. And they're still relevant. They're still still rocking. They've been everywhere like this year. They've been on AEW, New Japan, and NWA. So really digging this NWA events. They've been, these videos, these episodes they've been putting on YouTube. John, do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, I really do. Because you've really given us a panorama of wrestling. And
yeah,
wrestling.
Sorry,
I'm sorry. That's just the way we used to say it. But you know, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, the Rock and Roll Express, those guys have transcended time. They have been, they're now part of the they're so popular now because they weren't, you know, because they just like lived life and they did such great work. What do you think about them, and what do you think about their future? Because, you know, they were obviously the world's number one tag team championship team forever. And then now they're back, you know, they're back. So what do you think their future is going to be?
Oh, I think they're going to stay independent and float and go to work everywhere like they have been doing. But I'm not sure if they'll retain on Into the Fire. I think Wild Cards are the younger and hungry team, and I'm sure they're not happy about losing those titles, and I think there's going to be a good chance that they could possibly win those titles back. But I'm really digging the rock and roll of in these tag team title matches. So hoping we see more of them. I think they're going to do a second season of Power following this pay-per-view, and be looking forward to that. There's a national championship match on that pay-per-view as well with Colt Cabana, Aaron Stevens, and Ricky Starks. And I'm really digging Aaron Stevens. He was Damian Sandow in WWE years ago, and really enjoying his work lately on Power. And Colt met him at WrestleCage years ago, which is pretty entertaining as well. And some other good matches, Christian Mark versus Trevor Murdoch. Speaking of Trevor Murdoch, Harley Race passed this year, and that was pretty big news. And I know Trevor was pretty close to Harley, and was glad that WWE were able to fly Harley to where he needed to be, to another local medical facility. Now I'm speaking like Vince, but I'm really enjoying Murdoch's work on Power, and I think Question Mark is probably the most popular character on that show, wrestler, and some other matches on there, Eli Drake and Ken Anderson, that should be pretty interesting, both good talkers. And then there's a women's tag team match with Melina involved, so that should be pretty interesting. And so that's Into the Fire. And I haven't really looked into the Ring of Honor product lately, but I'm sure that should be an interesting show. That's some of the news that's been going on this week. John, I think we're talking about GalaxyCon. I didn't know if you want me to discuss the some of the people I saw there. I think that was earlier this year.
Absolutely. I'd love for you to talk about that.
Yeah. Got to meet, there's a bunch of wrestlers there. One of them being Kane. I thought that was pretty great. That was a bucket list of mine to meet him. He was one of my all-time favorites, especially his 2000s, his early 2000s work. I thought that was great. And he's a mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee, which is pretty interesting. And he's he's having a political career, and also owner of a training wrestling academy with Tom Pritchard. And then got to meet Alice Cooper on that Sunday of that weekend at GalaxyCon Richmond, and that was a pretty big
moment. Absolutely. I mean, you standing there with Alice Cooper is unbelievable. I mean, you know, he is truly the pop culture icon. We're, you know, just so thrilled that to have you here, and to have that photo of you with Alice Cooper. Jesus. I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, I was listening to No More Mr. Nice Guy, and I was listening to School's Out, and you know, Alice Cooper truly created our pop culture. He really did. And Todd,
yeah,
thank you for saying.
Yeah, I think people forget how many hits he does have, and or just how popular his songs are. And I told him I liked his Welcome to My Nightmare album, because it had a few songs on there with a Steven character, a character named Steven, and a song on there named titled Steven. So I was really glad to see him, tell him about how much I enjoyed that those songs in that album, and then the got the chance to see him in August in my state, and got to see him and his band play, and got to see him play the Steven song live, and his hits. And he had Nita Strauss with him, female guitarist, pretty popular. She was in an Iron Maiden cover band years ago. I think that's how she got popular. And then she was actually a performer at WrestleMania recently. She performed Nakamura's theme song as he made his entrance in the AJ Styles match. So she's been a big wrestling fan as well, and I know she was at a Mick Foley show that was recorded on the W Network or uploaded there. And so yeah, she's been involved as well, and so yeah, got to ask Alice about WrestleMania 3, his appearance there, with Jake Roberts being in his corner and having that face-off after the match with Jimmy Hart, and pretty classic moment there, and so that was a pretty awesome moment, and thankfully they recorded it and uploaded on Facebook on their page, so I recommend anybody checking that out as well.
Wow.
Just a quick comment on that Welcome to My Nightmare album. You know, that was definitely darn successful for him. And it's just interesting that Bob Ezrin was involved with that, same cat that was involved with the Kiss Destroyer album. Just a thought that come to my mind. The glam rock and the guy that understood it and what they could do.
Yeah, I got to see Kiss a couple times, and I think it was pretty interesting that both Kiss and Cooper, I think, were competing against each other. They were in my state, and the same night, I think Kiss was in Virginia Beach, and Cooper was in Bristow. So, you know, I had free tickets to the venue that Alice was going to, so I was like, all right, Alice is the obvious choice. I've seen Alice twice now, but I had to go see him on this recent tour because I was digging. I saw the set list and I was like, I gotta see that certain song live. And so yeah, I didn't know there was a connection between Cooper and Alice, so thanks for that info.
Yeah, no worries.
Because more Mr. Nice Guy, no more Mr. Oh my God, what a great, great pop culture moment. I'm sorry, Todd.
Yeah, it's also the Jim Cornette Experience. I think that's their theme song is No More Mr. Nice Guy, and so I thought that was pretty interesting as well.
We're just blessed with great pop culture stars. We really are. And I'll tell you what, we'll see what we can do to get these guys on our show sooner than later. Hopefully in January, because I know that they will want to be part of Pop Culture Stars because that's what they are. And I know, Steve, you have to, I hate to say this, but I know you have to leave us because you have to go to work and make a living. But
right.
All I got to say is thank you so much for being with us. You have been just a true champ, and we're going to have you back more and more. Is that okay? Will you come back and visit with us?
Oh yeah, I'd be down for that. Glad I could call in tonight.
Well, cool. We're just so glad that you were with us, and of course we still have Todd. And we still have Dave, and oh my God, we still have more pop culture stars. So all I got to say is thanks. Go to work, make a living, come back. We'll talk soon. Is that okay?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, awesome.
Thanks for joining us, dude. We much appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a good night. Be safe.
Thanks.
All right, and now, oh my God, is the voice of Todd and the voice of Dave. So we're so glad to have you guys with us. And what are we going to do? We got to talk about pop culture. So,
well, you know what? Since we got the coup on mine, I tell you, the song that I can't believe doesn't get airplay today because there is some stuff that the there's a good deal less censorship on the airwaves today than there was yesterday. When's the last time you heard the "You Can Go to Hell" by Alice Cooper? You know, I mean, there are parts of those lyrics how could you possibly forget? Oh my God! You are something that never should have happened. You even make your grandma sick. You can go. You just really.
No more, Mr. Nice Guy. Oh my God! You're talking about my entire generation. Oh my God! Please continue, Todd. This is so important.
I didn't stop and think about that. This guy. Okay, so here was a cat that who was going to give him any credit and stuff that, you know, that he would consider slock rock, all this kind of stuff. He holds a government position for long enough. I think he could have continued if he really, really chose to. That, you know, you can have a loss here and there and still continue. We got enough people proving that in the industry. But, man, he's still out there touring and doing his stuff. And, I mean, holy cow.
He's also a scratch golfer.
Say again?
He's a scratch golfer. When I met him last year, that's all we talked about. It's funny, the guy has all these albums and all these fantastic songs and everything, and we shot the breeze about golf. But, yeah, he is one nasty golfer, man.
So I mean, another element to – really? Isn't it,
yeah,
it's just,
absolutely.
There's the you don't always – quite often – the cover isn't the book. Just saying.
Well, what's funny for me with Alice Cooper is that Alice Cooper, you know, before Ozzy Osbourne, there was Alice Cooper. And, you know, before Ozzy came along and we started writing Ozzy on our knuckles and everything, if you were listening to Alice Cooper, that was when they dragged you to the counselor's office and told you, you know, you didn't need to be listening to that. And, you know, here we are 30, 40 years later. He's just like us. You know what I mean? He's a regular guy. And, you know.
I got to drop this in here because I'm just laughing my ass off. Steve just chimed in with some tidbits. He told Alice that his family lives on a golf course. And I brought up the point that Alice is a Christian. It's just more stuff. So apparently the golf thing, you weren't the only one with that, but that's, yeah, I like it.
And he's just John Q dude. I mean, it's funny how, you know, everybody was, you know, well, he does this, he does that. He's just a regular guy and very personable. I was very impressed. I mean, you know, me and Rob walked up there and talked to him, and, you know, he spoke to Rob, and that's something that always impresses me about people that I meet. When you have a group of people, try to speak to all of them, and, you know, sometimes it's a one-way street of, like, there's nobody else there, and people are left out of the conversation. Their job is just kind of stand there and stare at the ground. Alice Cooper, he talked to Rob like he'd known Rob for 100 years. And what was funny is the guy had an old raggedy vinyl Welcome to My Nightmare album. And when he put it up there, Alice looked at it and he goes, well, you've listened to this one a couple of times, haven't you? Because the cover of the jacket of it was all just ragged out. And the guy said, that's why I want you to sign it. He says, because I've, you know, worn the grooves off his vinyl, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, he gladly signed it. They shot the breeze for a minute. And before the guy walked off, he says, hang on one second. And Alice stood up and held the vinyl up over his head. And he says, hey, for you folks in line that don't know what this is called a vinyl record.
Awesome.
I was cracking up, man. But yeah, very personable guy.
Yeah. All right. I'm sitting here doing, let my fingers do some talking on the stuff. Just for the record, another reason Amazing You Can't Imagine a song isn't getting some airplay. Go to Hell was covered by Dee Snider, Zach Wild.
Oh, wow.
Bob Kulick, Rudy Sarzo, Frank Benali, and Paul Taylor. But I mean, it's just, really?
Yeah, a lot of names there.
I mean, you got, ironically, the Kiss connection again with Bob Kulick. The it's just
well, Dee Snider is another one that hasn't settled in yet. Dee Snider is still all over the place doing his stuff, man. Another good ambassador for good old, you know, metal music. Hasn't gone off the deep end and started acting like a nitwit. Sammy Hagar is another one that comes to mind. Just keeping it real, you know.
And you know, it's funny you bring that up, Sammy. It's just, I had one of those random thoughts. And I'm going to assume that the song was in my head this morning because I've been trying to watch this informational thing on Mars. So this morning I got Marching to Mars in my head from the Sammy Hagar solo album. And Steve just chimed in and saw Sammy Hagar at Chickenfoot years ago. Awesome show. Love it, Steve. That's awesome. there it was. Van Halen was talking about, we didn't want Sammy anymore because his lack of a work ethic. Who's done more shows, more tours, and put out more material since then? Just saying, Sammy hasn't stopped, and damn if you can't find Mike Anthony on stage with him fairly often.
Yeah, and funny thing is about Sammy Hagar is that he's like 4 months older than Bill Clinton is, and if you look at the two of them side by side, you know, I saw a meme not long ago that said, this is Sammy Hagar drinks a gallon of rum a day, and he puts his age, and then it says, this is Bill Clinton, been married to Hillary for 40 years.
Right. But stop and think. And funny thing is, there's evidence Sammy could get along with a lot of people. I don't know if a lot of people remember it, but man, hell of a tune he did was Over the Top. And with the video, he did it with Sly Stallone for the Over the Top arm wrestling flick.
Yep.
And there he was at the end of the video, arm wrestling Sly and beating him. You know, and he clearly probably was set up in that. But Sammy's got a boxing background.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I know he's got his own brand of whiskey or rum now.
He had the tequila. I understand he sold Cabo Wabo.
Oh, he did.
Well, let the fingers do the talking.
When all else fails, right?
I mean, Todd, you got to tell us more about this story. This is really cool.
Which one? We've been doing our thing. Suddenly we trail off all this stuff. We went from that. We said, you know what? Steve put us on. I don't think Steve even knew he was going to put us on a music show tonight. So, dude, thanks.
He had no idea. And as I said, he's going to become part of one of our regulars here at Pop Culture Stars because he is like the man when it comes to wrestling. But yeah, just, you know, whatever you got.
The I'm going to go ahead to the home site there for the nope. Man, how the hell did I get over to that flavor? The here we go. Let's see. By that, it was quick nutshell. Created in 96 by Cabo. In 2007, Grupo Campari purchased 80% of the brand from the musician and then the remaining 20% in 2011. But, yeah, I tell you what. Hell, Dave, I think you remember wasn't might have been my last damn Christmas there or my second last Christmas when I was back there. The Garion bought me a bottle of Cabo for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Garion being your supremely wonderful son. Everyone knows.
True that, I gotta say that. The Sergeant of Marines, when that album came out, what the hell was it? It was OU812 album, right? The song Cabo Wabo came out on. You know, White Sand sure makes the tan look nice, all that kind of stuff. We used to, one night we were there in the barracks and we had the multi-disc CD player and we put everything on mix and there was no Cabo Wabo at the time as far as a brand. And what we did was every time that tune came on, we just passed a bottle of tequila around.
Awesome.
Good. See what you do when you're young and dumb and full of gum. It's one of those things, man. But, yeah, I tell you what, the Respinzado was the best stuff ever.
I'm sorry. I'm just, like, thinking about when we used to pass the tequila around. Oh, my God. I'll stop there. Dave Atwell, what do you have to say about you? You have to have a comment about this.
Oh, no, it's just, Sammy Hagar had, you know, he was such a talent. And I think to a certain extent, he might have gotten a little bad rap when he, merged with Van Halen. Sole reason is David Lee Roth is one of those guys that was, I don't know how to put it. There's a certain thing about Dave that brings you to the table. And, Sammy Hagar had the same thing. It's just when they got together, Van Halen went from a party group to a group that started singing songs with meaning. And, you know, I think I've heard
that's awesome.
And, you know, Van Halen, well, you talk about one of the greatest groups ever. Van Halen was just totally, you know, out of control. They were great. And, I think for the main fan base for Van Halen, they were used to listening to, you know, Beautiful Girls, Everybody Wants Some, Mean Street, that kind of stuff. And when 5150 came out and there were songs like, you know, Love Comes Walking In and all that kind of stuff, they were great songs. It just wasn't a Van Halen-ish song, if you will. And
dude,
I think a lot of people unfairly critical.
We gotta go with this. The downfall of Van Halen kind of started with the old Diver Down album. As good as it was, it actually has one of the single best guitar songs on it, in my mind.
Which
it's
is
a whole another Van Halen argument. But we'll get to that. But Eddie had, he really wanted to, he was fighting from all the way back in with the Woman and Children First album that, you know, he wanted to explore his music stuff. And
yeah.
So when they used that little bit of synth with
1984,
what the hell was that? The Cradle Will Rock.
Yeah.
They were like, dude, you can't, you know, you're not allowed to, you can't play it. You're a guitar hero and stuff. And the funny thing is, one of Dave's arguments when he left there was, you know, Eddie just does the same thing. Well, Eddie was trying to do other things. He just, you know, Dave was one of the ones to stop it. But so for the Diver Down album, what that whole guitar, the synth piece that was used with the Dancing in the Streets was a piece Eddie was writing to try to come up with a separate song. He was really wanting to reach out and branch out. So me, musically, I think we won. And I get what you mean. The songs, you know, we did not have lyrics like Why Behave in Public When You're Living on a Playground. That stuff just didn't happen with it. Sammy. I admit that. But, man, there was some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was good. I like both versions of it. As a matter of fact, you had mentioned Mike Anthony playing, you know, bass for Sammy Hagar right now. He had a falling out with, and if I'm reading everything right, and I may be wrong because we're not there at ground zero, but I know Alex butted heads with his brother. I know David Lee Roth butted heads with Eddie Van Halen. Sometimes I think that Eddie Van Halen's kind of the catalyst to all the, you know, the arguments and everything in that group. But they had, and Anthony, he is one of the easily a very underrated bassist. I mean,
talk
bassist, and people start jumping all over Geddy Lee and all a bunch of guys, and not taking anything away from what they do. But man, I'm here to tell you, some of the music that they were putting out, I mean, and they weren't putting this stuff out in 2000. They were putting it out, you know, in 77 is when Van Halen 1 came out. I mean, it was just the harmony was incredible. The music was incredible. And it's funny, you was talking about the keyboards or the, you know, Eddie Van Halen wanting to branch out. I'm one of those guys. I remember when 1984 came out, if you ask me my least favorite Van Halen song, I would tell you without even hesitation, Jump. I think that is the most ridiculous damn song that anybody could ever possibly try to record. But the thing of it is when I listened to it, you know, in the 1980s, and hell, you guys remember how it was back in the day. It was every Tuesday, the new albums would hit, and you'd be right there at Record Bar or Sound Shop first thing in the morning. They roll little iron gates up there at the mall, and in you go to pick up your vinyl or cassette or 8-track or whatever the hell it was, you know, came out on back then. And, y'all, 1984, you listen to Jump, and you're going, what is this? You know, wait a damn second. They're keyboards in Van Halen? Now, granted, the rest of that album, you know, Drop Dead Legs, Panama.
I'll tell you this, Mark, when they did I'll Wait, that was actually keyboards with a crunch.
Right. And they redeemed themselves with that, because that was actually a damn good song. But, yeah, it was a culture
shock. And
the
solo with it, holy shit, that was a solo.
Oh, yeah. And that was, you know, if you remember correctly, David Lee Roth came out with his solo album right about the same time 5150 came out. And a lot of people, including myself, said that David Lee Roth's album sounded more like Van Halen than 5150 did. But to their credit, all the songs have aged well. And now you really don't even feel the difference when you listen to them. It's just good music, you know?
Oh, yeah. To circle back, just because Dr. John did ask, what I said was one of the best guitar songs ever, was take the time to listen to the song Secrets from the Van Halen Diver Down album. Clearly, Little Guitars was killer, the intro as well. But damn,
yeah.
Listen to the tune Secrets. because the guitar work in that is just insane. There is a, not an isolated guitar track, but there's a guy that plays it with a very sedated background thing or whatever. And if you actually just listen to guitar work in that, it's like, God, the dude could play. And while it was definitely not heavy metal, it was, I mean, there's a reason the guy's a guitar god. Because, you know, a lot of people said when Jeff Beck came out with Blow by Blow, he was committing artistic suicide. there's a reason that album's standing the test of time. Just saying.
I always found it interesting that Jeff Beck played for Rod Stewart. It just doesn't seem to compete, even in this day. It just doesn't seem to rattle.
You know, though, man, wasn't that some of Rod's best stuff?
Oh, yeah. That was when Rod Stewart was digestible. It was, pardon the play on words there. It was,
I know the story you're referring to with that one.
You know, Jeff Beck actually did. I don't know if you guys know the song Up to the Mountain. It's a gospel kind of song. He played guitar. It was only him and Kelly Clarkson. And he played that song on guitar, and she sang. And I am here to tell you, it'll just stop you in your tracks. And to see a guy with his background and everything playing that type of song, it was just it was amazing. Just, you know,
but see,
very
now,
well done.
You're saying amazing as soon as a guy branches out. I'm just running with that, and then other guys branch out. Now, look, Eddie, I'll tell you this. I think another hidden gem from Eddie was on the Van Halen 3 album, and it was a song called Once. First off, I think the boys from Tears for Fears were like, son of a bitch, why didn't we think of that? seriously, because I Tears for Fears got some stuff people don't know. I turned Dr. John onto their title track of the Sowing Seeds for Love album when he was up here. And you should have seen his jaw hit the ground. I mean, the nod to the Beatles was obvious in it, but that tune was ridiculous. But that tune Once in the outro guitar bit was just insane. I mean, there are some just wicked subtleties in that song. The guitar work is just unreal. I think Van Halen 3 is a really underrated album. Josephina, unreal. Just unreal. Yeah, so I think Gary Cherone, and Gary Cherone might have been the bridge, by the way, to getting David Lee Roth back, because he was the one with his voice range, stuff like that, got them to play a little bit of everything when they went back to the, you know, everything pre-me. Okay, so we got so much to pick from, and he picked a little bit of everything. He really did. I mean, he was doing stuff live with them, like it was from Twister. Man, the one great, where they were chasing down the tornado, Humans Being. He was doing that live with them. You know, and that just wasn't one of their mainstream live tunes. As well as a band with them. And the so that was just great stuff. That's, as a note, by the way, it's still one of Garen's favorite tunes. That was one of his big movies when he was little. And when I was stationed up at Cherry Point, one of my Marine nephews, Yuki and I, we went up there and we caught the Van Halen 3 tour. Man, blistering hot. North Carolina day, humid as all get out, and boy, there I was, whole show with Gary on my shoulders. Yeah, great show. The You know, that's fun stuff. There is just so much hidden stuff with the different bands. The, you know, and all this started with Alice Cooper. We're going to keep going back to, man, please, why ain't that song getting some airplay?
Well, you know, you always seem to notice that the songs that bands are most famous for are usually not their best offering. You know, unless you're a Van Halen fan and you mention Van Halen, somebody will go, oh, yeah, Jump. Jump. But they had much more.
I'm going to tell you, I had this kind of conversation with our girl Liz. We were having a great Pink Floyd conversation, and she is one of the few that referenced the Umagumma album. I'm just saying, you know, that is, you know, it's always money, it's always them, you know, the wall, stuff like that. Animal, you know, first thing she went to was Animals.
Yeah.
Good, you know, I mean, just good stuff. There are, oh, by the way, I learned so much about her that you guys, you know, man, we all ought to have an opportunity to drive from point A to point B and have that conversation.
Opportunity knocks.
I'm just telling you. And here is our boy, Steve, chiming in again. Oh, I love Floyd. Sid Barrett era, first two albums are a trip.
You're awesome. You're awesome, Todd. You really are.
Steve, we appreciate how you're still in here on the show. It's stinking great. Guy may not be connected by a phone line, but, man, he is in here on the show. But, yeah, our girl Liz, oh, good grief. We, oh, man, it was so much fun when she was up here. The I really thought last week, honestly, when she brought back up that visit here, I was just wondering which way she was going to go and which one of the conversations and stuff. And that's why my first reaction was, oh, shit. She's eclectic as they are as this show. Yeah, just saying. All right, we come to Cooper. We beat the hell out of some VH tonight, didn't we?
You know, the biggest problem with Van Halen, though, is that when, you know, it was always beach music. When I say beach music, I don't mean beach music in literal sense. But it was music that you always took to the beach. By the time 1984 came out, you find yourself trying to have to drag five or six cassettes to the beach with you, which is just not doable. But, you know, people don't realize now the ability with the whole downloading songs and, you know,
oh my
Spotify.
God, you're right. Well, dude, take your cell and a portable speaker. And these portable speakers are doing like, I'm not going to mention any brand name, right? We used to buy, it used to be, you know, when this brand name came out, boy, that was a yardstick speaker. And then this company came out with that one and that one. And boy, these little freaking smaller than a beer can, freaking standard 12-ounce yeah. beer can speaker, you can throw it out there on the porch and you're freaking good to go.
Yeah,
it's not getting beat to hell. And I think all three of us can remember when we were happy to have one of those little transistor AM radios that were the handhelds back then. But the speaker was really, you know, the size and all that on the thing. And it was still just forget about it because once you turned it up over halfway once, it was shot.
I remember when the dual cassette recording, the dual cassette players would come out, and you would painstakingly sit all of your cassettes out, and you would say, okay, these are the songs, and you would go out and buy one of your Maxell, you know, 90-minute tapes or whatever, and you would look at the times on the album cover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
so you can max out the 90 minutes
of where you're going.
Yeah, but it would take you 2 days to make the tape because it's, you know, it's okay, all right, record. Movie's over, stop. Okay, fast forward, you know, and, you know, there was a science to it, for crying out loud, and folks don't realize now, you know, Spotify, man, you know, all you got to do is get in there, type the name of the song in or the artist, and you're good to go. I mean, the other day I went to go put in there the old Hooked on a Feeling, and I couldn't remember. I knew BJ Thomas sang it, but I couldn't remember the name of the group that had sang it before. And I typed it in there, and blam. I mean, just in a second, there it is, Suede Blue. And I'm like, that, there you go. You know, the amount of, you know, broken glass we used to have to crawl through back in the day to get our music together. It was it was so wrong that we had to do that, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, good grief. And, you know, kind of funny, there was a certain point where power ballads became popular. But, you know, power ballads were around for a while. If you think about it, Stairway to Heaven was effectively a power ballad. Right?
I always think about the Scorpions Still Loving You as many damn drunken nights as I sat around with tears running down the side of my face listening to that damn song. It's like,
oh man, the Scorps are good. Seriously, now I tell you what, that's just another one of my go-to bands. But how about Sweet Love Is Like Oxygen?
Oh yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. Sweet, you're hearing Fox on the Run, and you know, it's jumping out at you. You know, that's one of the ones there. You know, of course, Ballroom Blitz. But still, really.
Yeah, there was a lot of them though. I mean, you had Beth. Excuse me. Of course, Beth is one of those.
Yeah, there we go. I think you know. But yeah, and that wasn't even really a power ballad. It's just out ballad.
Yeah.
And which brings us right back. You talked about Full Circle, Kiss, Destroyer album, Bob Ezrin.
Yeah.
Behind
it.
It's just one of those things.
You're 100% right, Todd.
And on a tangent there, I don't know if you've seen, Todd, that the lead singer to Roxette passed away yesterday.
Oh,
and,
voice,
man.
What the hell is that tune they did, Brown Eyes Blue? How can they grow their brown eye blues?
Yeah, they had
The Look.
Yeah, The Look.
What a freaking great tune. Oh,
you know, their big launching pad was the Pretty Woman soundtrack, and her voice was just insane. And, she apparently had slipped away from cancer. I think it was 60 or 63, they said. But, again, another great voice. Man, it just stinks. We're losing all of our voices out there, you know?
They are. I tell you what, a voice I want to kind of give some props to is I had looked up, I can't remember the band, Eurythmics, Walking on Broken Glass, because I thought Annie Lennox was kicking ass vocally in that tune. And I found all this other, I was still back at Sam's at the time. This was easily 5-6 years ago. And I found this other shit that she was doing on the side. And I was like, oh my God, why don't people hear this? Because she was out there kicking ass. And we're talking vocalists, and I'm going to bring out, look, I mean, we all know Rockwise, Freddie Mercury, probably one of the best voices ever. Linda Ronstadt did say rock forever, but she might have been, and I'm going to give this phrase to Garion, the purest voice ever. And if you want to hear a pure voice, listen to her sing Blue Bayou.
Oh, yeah.
If that doesn't make the hair on your arm stand up and give you goosebumps, I don't know what will. But I tell you what, I almost hate to say it, but we wouldn't have got a lot of Robert Plant had John Bonham not passed away. The Robert Plant solo material, if you're not familiar with it, go around. He, his first stuff he did with Robbie Blunt as a guitarist. And Robbie Blunt, oh, by the way, worked with, what's our Canadian girl that's so well known that works out of Vegas anymore?
Oh, Shania.
Yeah, yeah.
Shania Twain?
No, not Twain. Canadian girl. This is about the right time I'm going to ask them, Casey and Garion, because Casey made them see that when they hit Vegas. But the girl's well known. But Robbie Blunt worked with them on the first few albums. But again, yes, Celine Dion. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Look at our man coming through there. And Robbie Blunt, I mean, what a difference. And oh, by the way, here's somebody else Robbie Blunt worked with. Let's see if I can remember the name. Lyrics are coming to my head, and I can't remember. I think she ended up with Paul Simon. I don't know. Edie Brickell.
Oh, yeah.
He worked with Edie Brickell. Just to give you an idea of the guy's versatility. So you got a guitarist that's working with Edie Brickell, Robert Plant, and Celine Dion. So the guy's got talent, got range, got style, and got ability. But Robert Plant solo material. And I tend to fall back to the Manic Nirvana album, the song I Cried. You want to know what Plant can do with his voice right there. Right there.
Yeah, well, all of his stuff in Zeppelin is just, and Zeppelin's another one of those groups, you know, like Van Halen, when everybody thinks of the same two or three songs, they had so much B-side stuff that was just off the charts excellent, you know?
Really, I mean, really, think about a classic heavy metal rock and roll group. How does Battle of Evermore fit in there?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. The I pulled some stuff up. I was searching some of their stuff and found a cover, and I dare say it. I posted this on Bill Fripp's site. One of their Heart covered some of their stuff, and they had such a great thing. And I dare say, I think it was Battle of Evermore. They actually had a woman singing backup vocals with them.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Fingers are going to do the talking again.
Well, you know, the Immigrant Song in itself, I mean, you know the old joke about, you know, how did Robert Plant get the vocals for Immigrant Song, is they were getting out of the limo and couldn't figure out what they wanted to do for the chorus, and Jimmy Page slammed Robert Plant's hand in the car door, and Robert Plant hit the, and they said, that's it. You want to talk about a song that ought to be your wake-up, you ought to be your alarm. I mean, if that song, and the damnest thing about it is the song isn't but like 2 minutes long. Man, did they rob us on that one. You know, had they gone ahead.
Sandy Denny.
Oh, there you go.
Sandy Denny, the and I found a version of that on YouTube or something where it was Robert Plant and her out there singing it.
No kidding. Lest we forget the honey drippers when we're talking about Robert Plant.
Oh, God, do not forget that. The well, you guys on my Facebook page, tell me if I don't put See Your Love up there every year for the wife, either anniversary or birthday for the honey drippers, See Your Love. Seriously?
Yeah, though the video lacked where it had the guy with the xylophone and the black Speedo, still great cover. And, you know, Robert Plant
great cover. The video is hilarious. Do you know he did, Robert Plant did another cover of that where he was hanging out with some older, let's say, full-figured woman. And it was hilarious because he was so playing the role with it and stuff, and it was just, I mean, I dare say, I call it cute.
Because he had joined up late 80s with, God, what was Carmine Appice from, God, who was he with? Was he with Sabbath? Anyhow,
God,
they had made
Carmine
a group
Appice played with everybody.
Yeah, yeah, that's
Vinny
true.
And Carmine are ridiculous drummer brothers, yeah.
And they did Blue Murder and had that song Jelly Roll and a couple other songs on it. It was a short album, only like 7-8 songs, but I've got it on cassette somewhere. Of course, everything from there was cassette. But that was another one of those groups that never got their play. And, of course, it was about the same time Jimmy Page was doing The Firm. So...
Okay.
MTV was wearing out The Firm at the time when that Radioactive song they had, and they never Blue Murder never got the amount of play they should have, but that was some good closet metal too, you know.
Oh, dude, that's fun that you bring up some of the old school MTV stuff. The how about things like. There were, there's a handful of songs that use mythology or history or stuff in their song. Don't Pay the Ferryman. You know, the whole, you know, coins on the ice routine. How cool was that? Don't Pay the Ferryman. And, you know, that was kind of a fun song early MTV days.
Yeah. When they played music videos.
Hell,
so we put Dr. John to sleep. Is he snoring?
It sounds like it, don't it?
It damn sure enough does, don't it?
I'll be
this
damned,
may be
though.
A landmark.
Since it's, well, it's 10:13 on tonight's show, just saying. You know, he did say to let me say,
he's listening to Katy Perry with "You're Gonna Hear Me Snore."
Yeah.
Go ahead, Doctor.
Yeah.
He
did talk about how he was worn out and how tired he'd been and stuff like that and needed sleep and stuff and that. But that's hilarious. Boy, he is going at it. I tell you what, I am honestly torn between us just keeping on because we're doing good and doing stuff. And we can ignore it or keeping on and embarrassing him or trying to stop. Just because he is. Notice that's a vote of 2-1. I wonder how that's going to go. Oh, man.
Today's episode is brought to you by the letter Z.
What are any of the great medicines that are out there? Shaman nuts and whatever.
Are we that entertaining?
Oh my God.
We're the cure for insomnia. This is great. And the entire world, whatever you do, don't let it get on the internet too late.
Live and on the air, our co-hosts have put our hosts to sleep.
Live and lethargic.
Just for the record, this is a first for the show. We've managed to do that.
Well, I hope he doesn't drool on his laptop and you'll shorten the whole thing out, you know. That was a good one.
Just a thought, because this will keep recording. If we hang up, it'll still be him snoring.
Well, it's funny, like mine's, because I was sitting here thinking, God, you know, maybe what we ought to do is just do the plugs real quick, and then me and you hang up, and then it's like 10 minutes of uninterrupted snoring of Dr. John's.
Oh, my God. That's great. Okay, so I'm going to have to try to go back to where we were. We were talking about, I pulled up like songs about myth and history and stuff. And I'm not necessarily a big Iron Maiden fan. I'm not anti-Iron Maiden by any means. But I will give them some props, because the song The Trooper was all about the charge of the Light Brigade. And so they found a way to... Boy, that is...
I'm sorry, Todd. I'm just curious, man.
There is nothing to be sorry about, because I can barely stand up. I'm laughing so hard. I'm trying to prep my coffee for tomorrow morning, right? And, man, it is hard to stand up straight.
I was going to work out the words of tea while you were talking, because I was laughing so hard. Now I got to take a leak.
Oh, God.
God, this is
Now we've turned Dave into a pregnant woman.
I thought Dale was the only one I could put to sleep.
So the sad part is, it's not like we can really call him.
What the real shame is that neither one of us will be a fly on the wall when he wakes up and goes, "Oh, shit."
And the best part is, you know what? I'm going to have to listen to find out what kind of smart-ass shit we did.
Yeah, no. If I'm him, it's one of those things. What did Yoda tell Obi-Wan? Maybe you don't want to know. You know, it's... This is epic.
Oh, God. Of all the people for me to fall asleep in front of, it's those two. The answer to that is yes. You know what? I'm half hoping his arm gets a cramp holding the phone to his ear. Which brings us right back to the Krampus. Now, what are those little things you put across the nose to stop you from snoring?
Yeah, we'll get Breathe Right for a damn sponsor for now on.
Exactly. There we go. That's where I was going with it. This episode brought to you by, dude, wish he had some Breathe Rights.
This is funny. Oh, God. This made my night.
And you're right. Let's just because it's going to take us longer than normal, we better damn start plugs now. In fact, as a matter of fact, I think we can start with nose plugs. We are so
this
stupid. That's exactly an example of why this is going to take extra long tonight.
This will be one of our best. This will be one of our archive shows that everybody goes back and listens to. Not because it was a good show, but because they got to listen to 20 minutes solid of Dr. John Snorer while me and you shot the shit about nondescript rock and roll.
and making up fictional sponsors. Oh, my God.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. What are all the different things that there are out there for the sinus passage now? There's oh God, I'm trying to breathe. I can't breathe.
I'm walking by Dale right now. She's up. I'm gonna get Dale to listen. Listen this way. Ready?
Brought to you by Sinex. Oh my God.
Dr. John fell asleep on the show. Wait a minute. There's one.
I cannot believe it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is worth the price to admission. I mean, if there is.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to feel guilty about this or not.
Oh, Christ. All right.
That's why I said we got to start plugs now. Oh, my God.
Yes. All right.
Oh, my God. This is going to take us an hour to do them.
Okay. Got to get my phone. Ooh, that was good.
Oh my God. Look,
wow,
dude, I got tears in my eyes.
What I will do is I will do my plug real quick, and then I'm going to walk off this thing.
I dare you to get it done without laughing.
Wow. Oh my God. Oh, okay. Oh shit. All right. Well, my plug. from November 17th up to December 3rd are always great, great, great times for me because I celebrate a wedding anniversary, two dog birthdays, my wife's birthday, and my son's birthday, all in that two-week span. And so just this past week, I took my son out, Rob, and Dale and I took Rob out and had our first official beer and more beverages along with it as a family. And funny thing is, we went to three places and Rob didn't get carded one time. So that's how it seems to work with everybody when they turn 21, but nevertheless. So my plug is to them and for that blessing that I get every year when I get to celebrate everything that me and Dale's union has produced. And and not to mention yesterday was the 5-year anniversary of Hunger Series Revelation hitting the press. So
I saw that this morning.
Yeah, so good times and a lot lies ahead. So looking forward to it. But with that being said, Todd, I will turn to you, brother. We got 5 minutes of trying to control our laughter and plug away.
Dude, it took us 8 plus minutes from when I said we better start trying to do our plugs just to get to there. Oh, my God. For those who suffer insomnia, I invite you to listen to Pop Culture Stars, because clearly it works. And Dr. John is not a paid actor. This is real stuff.
You know, maybe me and you ought to hit the road and start offering our services to people who suffer from insomnia.
Apparently. Oh my God. You can't make this stuff up. Oh shit. I'm telling you. And look, whatever he's doing, not to have his arm have a cramp yet while he's holding the phone up in whatever position he's stuck in. I can't stop visualizing trying to figure this out. It is, oh my goodness, breathe. Oh my God, look, dude, big fan of Pops for the family. You guys are loved. All right, my plug is for unscripted moments and how the hell do you get through them? Because it is happening right stinking now. We couldn't have made this stuff up once again. In all seriousness, we had Steve in here tonight. Appreciate him. He's contributed so much for so long to Papa Throw's WCW Retro. It brings so much to the shows he's on. He gave us the fodder to go on to this damn music tangent that we carried. We carried through, well, apparently our host's attention. We were going through with that. Our guests, maybe that's the thing to do with our guests. We have different people all the time. We're always happy to have you. And we think the world of you. Will Williams, the progress over the years of how personal the conversations have gotten changed with Will on the show.
Absolutely.
It's just from not knowing my name to knowing my name. Hey, it's old, he'd say that stuff for whatever reason. I think I was thinking about, hey, it was nice that it was wet and that I got my vehicle to work and I didn't have a bunch of salt and crap on it. Will talking about, damn it, where he was in California saying, man, my car looks like crap. We got the water rationing. I can't wash it. It doesn't rain and keep it halfway clean for me. Stuff like that. Just craziness we have on the show. Stuff you can't make up, can't grip, can't create otherwise. I don't know. I think between Dave and I, we've had at least a dozen jokes about fake sponsors here at this time. That's been a blast. My goodness. I'm going to try to get us into wrapping up. I'm assuming it's going to take both of us because we've done good because we both ain't giggled in about 3 minutes. That's better than we did. All right. So much for the 3 minutes because it's happening now. Look, we appreciate all of you that take the time to listen to us live. Really appreciate it. You're welcome to get the downloads. I have talked to Dr. John. I'm going to try to I'm trying to talk him into setting up the link because he's got a site where he's got a download of every show that we've done. We've done something like 220 shows. Well, I can't say we. I wasn't with all of them. But the pop culture stars in all its iterations have something like 220 shows, which is pretty stinking monumental in and of itself. So that's a really big thing. But we thank you. We appreciate you. Oh, are you waking up to close the show?
Absolutely not.
Well, it's time to close the show, brother.
It is time to close the show, and we're glad, and we've had a good time, and rock and roll, and we'll be back next week. Sound good?
I can't get it. Sounds good to me. Time it is everything.
What are you laughing about, Dave?
John, you've been snoring for like 15 minutes. No, actually, closer to 18 minutes.
18 minutes, okay. Well, that's all right. We've had a good time. And we'll see everybody next week on Pop Culture Stalkers.
Stay good, Paul.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Rock and roll.
Oh, my God. Waiting for the British lady, brother.
Here she comes.